for listening to our message this week. We're talking about the leavened mind, transforming our thought process to be renewed by the Spirit for all that God is releasing. Hope that this blesses you.
I am really, really excited about the word of the Lord and what he is doing and saying. I am in a unique moment right now, and there have been a few times in my life where I have been in this place where it feels as though there is a rush of revelation and information that is coming, and so I'm doing my best to steward that. I am spending a ton of time right now writing and researching, and there's a lot of stuff that's going to be coming out from that soon. But the Lord has had us on a journey for some time, and he's talking to me about some very specific things. And one of the anointings that I feel like the Lord has given me, one of the things that I feel like he's gifted me to do, is to look at something, see that an adjustment needs to be made, and then begin to facilitate that adjustment. Now, I want to say that's not always fun. That's not always fun as a leader, because sometimes you have to look at things that have been in motion for a really long time and that people have relational equity with, or people have ties to, or people believe it should look a certain way. And sometimes you have to do what the prophets in the Old Testament did and uproot some things and shift some things around in order to be able to move into what it is that the Lord is doing and saying. And I believe that we're in one of those moments right now in the body of Christ. I really, really believe. The reason he sowed depth and maturity into us in 2024 was so that we could adjust our mindset, so that we could change the way that we think, okay? Repentance, the actual word, literally means to change the way that we think. And we were taught for a long time that repentance meant to turn and go the other way, okay? And that is an aspect of repentance. But if you don't change the way that you think, turning and going the other way is just a little bit of time until you turn around and go back the other way, right? So you have to have a different thought process, and you have to have a different mindset around what it is that you're repenting for. And so the Lord has really, really been dealing with me about that. And so I'll tell you another really interesting thing that hasn't happened for a long time is I'm beginning to, he's like giving me titles for things. So back in the day, just so you know, back in the day, every message had a title. I mean, every message had a title, and that was how you started off the thing, right? I mean, you had to have a catchy title that left people, in suspension and wanting more. And I got away from that a long, long time ago, and most of my notes now have dates. But I feel like he specifically spoke something to me, and so I'm going to talk to you about that today. And I think this will take us into a few weeks. But everything that we're doing in this year, everything is connected to worship and abundance, okay? I am convinced that what the Lord is wanting to do is to release abundance to his people. And listen, when I say abundance, some of you immediately think, oh, he's talking about money, or he's just talking about wealth, or whatever. And I would submit to you that if that's what you think automatically, then you're going to fit really, really well into what it is the Lord's wanting to do in our mindset. Because while those things are included, that is not the bulk of what I believe he's wanting to do. And so I'm going to talk to you today about this phrase, the leavened mind. The leavened mind. And I want to show you, I'm not going to go deep into this today, but I want to show you the Proverbs 13:22 says that the wealth of the wicked is laid up for the just, or laid up for the righteous, right? And I want to show you that one of the primary things that I believe the Lord is wanting to release to us in that thought process of the wealth of the wicked being laid up for the just is the way that we think. The way that we think. Do you know who the first person in Scripture was to build a city? Cain. What is Cain known for? Killing his brother, being expelled from the garden. But somehow, he left that environment with a thought process and a mindset. And listen, we know that he believed he was going to be expelled from the garden. We know that he believed he was going to be removed from the presence of God. It tells us that. But he left that and went and built a city, and actually built a city for generations to come. And so one of the things that I believe that the Lord is wanting to do in the body of Christ is to change the way that we think, so that we begin to move into the idea of building what it is he's instructed us to build in regard to the kingdom things that Jesus came to bring to us, okay? And so I want to talk to you today about the leavened mind, and I want to remind you, if you weren't here a couple of weeks ago, I started talking about Exodus chapter 11 and 12. I'm going to reference that, moving out of Egypt, and so we'll reference that. But let's go to Mark chapter 8, verse 14 through 21. And I'm actually reading this from the New King James today. Everybody good? Yeah, cool. Now the disciples had forgotten to take bread, and they did not have more than a loaf with them in the boat. Then he charged them, saying, "Take heed, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the leaven of Herod." And they reasoned among themselves, saying, listen, here's one of the things that causes us to have really, really interesting mindsets. And I'm going to use the word interesting there because I want to be politically correct, okay? So interesting has a lot of different meanings in my brain. But one of the reasons that we have interesting mindsets is because when we hear the word of the Lord, our first thought is to begin to reason among ourselves, or reason with those who may have a similar belief as we do, in order to attempt to justify what it is that we're thinking. Okay? So I want you to hear that. I want you to hear that. They reasoned among themselves, saying, "It is because we have no bread." But Jesus, being aware of it, said to them, "Why do you reason because you have no bread? Do you not yet perceive nor understand?" Listen, there are times when Jesus asks you questions that you just sit and listen, and sometimes he wants an answer, but when he gets in this mode right here, he doesn't really want you to talk. Okay? He wants you to just listen, because it says that he asked them, "Do you not perceive or understand?" And then he continues to go down and let them know, "No, you don't, and here's why." Any of y'all ever had encounters like that with the Lord, where he sets you down and says, "Hey, listen, do you this, that, and the other? No, you don't, and let me show you how." This is what he's doing right here. Okay, so Jesus, being aware of it, said to them, "Why do you reason because you have no bread? Do you not yet perceive nor understand? Is your heart still hardened? Having eyes, do you not see? Having ears, do you not hear? And do you not remember when I broke the five loaves for the 5,000? How many baskets full of fragments did you take up?" He wanted an answer here. They said to him, 12. "Also, when I broke the seven for the 4,000, how many large baskets full of fragments did you take up?" And they said, 7. So he said to them, "How is it that you do not understand? How is it that you do not understand?" As we move into the fullness of what the Lord is saying to us in this moment around worship and abundance, it's imperative that we take full advantage of what has been given to us by way of revelation. One of the things the Lord spoke to us last year was that the gate of revelation was opening, and that there was an invitation, that grace was being released to not trip over the threshold of insight as we walk through the gate of revelation. I've said this before, but I want you to understand, there's a difference between insight and revelation. Insight always causes you to want to pursue the one who brings the insight. Okay? Revelation always causes you to want to pursue the one that the message is about. Do you understand? There's a huge difference. And what happens is we get caught in these cycles of insight. We get caught in these cycles of trying to figure everything out, and it affects our thought process. It affects the way that we believe about who God is and what's happening in life and all of these things. And we get trapped in these cycles. And he said very specifically to us last year, the gate of revelation is opening. Don't trip over the threshold of insight. Don't trip over trying to figure it out and make it fit your narrative in order to justify what it is. Man, I put something on Facebook this week, and I've put it different times at different social media platforms, but it really is getting some traction. And you know, it's probably very on time for the climate that we're in our nation right now. And what I said was, your feelings don't justify truth. They justify what you believe. Your feelings don't justify truth. They justify what you believe. And so it's important that we understand what pushes those things, what speaks to those things, and what brings us into a place to even begin to feel what we feel, okay? And so, the gate of revelation is opening, and we can't trip over the threshold of insight trying to make it fit what we want it to fit. Is that okay? Are y'all okay? The call to depth and maturity is a call to transform the way that we think according to Romans chapter 12. What does Romans chapter 12 say? It says, do not be conformed to the ideals of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Okay? And the Passion Translation says it this way, be transformed and actually completely transform the way that you think. And this is where I want to go. This is what I want us to understand as the body of Christ. God is speaking to us, and he is coming after some thought processes and some things that have been established in our hearts and our minds so that we begin to see him correctly and see him in a way that causes him to move into the fullness of what he wants for us. Okay? All right, Tozer said it like this. The current condition of the church is directly connected to their concept of who God is. I want to tell you that's a timeless quote. I don't know what year he said it. It was a long time ago, probably before I was born. But the current condition of the church is tied to their concept, our concept of what we believe about God. Okay? In other words, we become the reflection of what we believe about him. Hello. You are the reflection of what you believe about God. When you go to work tomorrow, when you encounter someone at Walmart, when you encounter someone at a restaurant, you are the reflection of what you believe about who God is in the moment. It is imperative that we really understand who he is so that we become a correct reflection of what it is he's wanting to do in this moment, okay? In the text, Jesus is attempting to bring revelation about the spiritual climate that they're in. Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the leaven of Herod, okay? However, the thought process of the disciples was such that their immediate response was to believe that he was attempting to question them about natural circumstances. Listen, I've told you this before. We think like this. We think that the natural comes to affect the spiritual, but that's not how God works. God always does something in the spiritual that affects the natural. Okay? And then we have to get in line with that. The opposite happens when we allow the circumstances that we see with our natural eyes to affect the spiritual climate that we live in the moment. Okay? Let me show you this just in this passage. If you read on, so the Pharisees come and they're demanding a sign. I want to know who you are, which is crazy to me because Jesus had just multiplied bread for thousands of people. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine being anywhere in the vicinity and Jesus multiplies bread for literally thousands of people and the Pharisees answer that by saying, I want you to show us a sign. Okay? So they want him to show a sign. He gets into a boat, he leaves, and he begins to speak something into the spirit and says, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the leaven of Herod. Okay? Now, I've taught this before. He's talking about beware of the religious spirit and the political spirit that are attempting to get a hold of you and cause you to believe certain things, okay? I'm not going to go there today, but that's what he's talking about. He's talking about something spiritual. Here's how you know. They immediately begin to respond in the natural because they knew they didn't bring bread, and because he mentioned one ingredient in bread, so he must be talking about what it is that I'm thinking about in the natural. But watch this. I'm going to show you. If you read the rest of the chapter, which I'm not going to teach that today, but if you read the rest of the chapter, he immediately questions, do you have ears and can't hear? Do you have eyes and can't see? The very next thing that happens is he goes and heals a blind man. He goes and heals a blind man because he just put something into the spirit that would now begin to affect something in the natural so that they would understand and tie the concepts together. Watch this. But it was deeper than that, because the very next thing that happens after they heal the blind man is he tests them again and says, who do men say that I am? Peter gets this one right. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. So that's amazing. So Jesus has to sit back and say, okay, maybe they're getting it a little bit. But here's what I want you to understand. When God begins to release revelation to you, when he begins to release things to you, it may not fix what's in the natural right now, but it is setting your heart at a place where you will begin to see things come into motion. You will begin to see things change as you approach it differently with your mindset, and then you will begin to see things rolling in the natural. But that's not what happens first. And the way that our mindset gets skewed is when we believe that the natural has to happen first and then the spiritual follows that. It's backwards. It's backwards, okay? Okay, so watch this. In the text, Jesus is attempting to bring revelation about the spiritual climate. However, the thought process of the disciples was such that their immediate response was to think from a three-strand cord that is not easily broken. Watch this. The natural over the spiritual, performance, and fear. All three of those are in the text. The natural over the spiritual, moving into performance, and fear. Okay. Possibly the greatest deterrence to living a life of abundance in every area is interpreting spiritual truths through natural limitations. Guys, I'm going to tell you, if we are going to move into the fullness of what God has for us, we're going to have to stop trying to figure out spiritual things with natural limitations. 1 Corinthians told us over and over and over again, you cannot know the things of God based on your natural mind. You have to have it by way of the Holy Spirit. And if we are not living our life with Holy Spirit as the decoder of everything that's happening in us, we will move into a place where we live from our natural senses, and it affects the way that we think and what we believe about God. In this place, our faith ebbs and flows based on circumstances. You ever known anybody like that? They're up one day, they're down the next. They're up one day, they're down the next. They're like a yo-yo. Seriously. And listen, I hate to say this, but sometimes Christians are the worst, because we're so moved by the circumstance that we're in. It wears me. It's a peeve of mine, honestly. It is a peeve of mine. If you are up and down, up and down, up and down, a couple of things are going to happen. I'm either going to confront it and let you know that that's not going to work around me, or eventually I'm going to be like, look, I can't be around you because you're just up and down all the time, over and over and over again. And what happens is our faith ebbs and flows based on the circumstances that we're in. This is a hyperfixation on what we see in the natural, despite the track record that God has working on our behalf. Do you understand that? When you are up and down, you are hyperfixating on what you see right now in the moment, despite what he has done for you throughout your life. That's good, Ryan. I never thought of it like that. Me neither. We miss the opportunity for seeing divine perspective while fixating on human solutions. We often find ourselves, watch this, we find ourselves dissecting fragments of conversations, bending over backward to piece together common ground that gives the illusion that we have understanding. You understand? That's what the disciples were doing, right? Have you ever been around that person that they'll hear one portion of a conversation and then they immediately have 14 stories around that one portion of the conversation because they want to try to prove to you that they understand what's going on? It's okay. You can raise your hand. True. Have you ever been around that person? I have been around that person. I want to prove to you that I know what's going on. I want to show you. And so Jesus says, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees. Watch this. So many people believe that Peter is actually the one who spoke this book of Mark, and Mark was the spiritual son of Peter and wrote it, okay? And so before the story starts, Peter or Mark, whoever, wants you to know the disciples brought one loaf of bread. Okay? They brought one loaf of bread. So, which tells you, he's setting you up for the thought process that the disciples have for the rest of the story, okay? They brought one loaf of bread. Jesus says, beware of the leaven. That's the only thing they heard. Guys, leaven is one ingredient in bread, but they wanted to make it look like they were in tune with what he was saying. Ah, I can't get no help up in here. One fragment of a conversation, one fragment of the word of the Lord, and I got to show up. He must be talking about this. We're going to reason together. Look here. We're going to have to put our heads together because he just said leaven, and so we didn't bring enough bread. We only brought one loaf of bread, so he must be talking about bread. And Jesus is sitting back. He said, hold up. First of all, I'm on the boat. Like, do you not know that I'm on the boat? Do you not know that I know everything that you're saying? Why are you talking amongst yourselves about a word that I just gave you? I understand healing comes in community. Everything's good in community. That's great. It's all good. But he's trying to teach them something about the way they think, okay? And they grab a fragment of the conversation and say, oh, he must be talking about bread. We rely solely on human reasoning when we do this, attempting to grasp profound spiritual concepts using nothing more than a thought that is fleeting. And we're trying to solve a puzzle without all the pieces because it has to fit logic. This is exactly what the disciples did. Listen, Jesus spent 3.5 years teaching them to think from a different place. And this is fascinating to me because he recalls a specific testimony where he answered every question about bread that they could ever have. Listen, you're bad to the bone when somebody mentions bread and you say, do you remember when I fed 20,000? Do you remember when I fed 4,000? Why are you worried about bread? Do you remember when he brought you out of the situation that was the worst that you had ever encountered to this point? Do you hear what I'm saying? Do you remember when he showed up, even if it was at the last minute in your perception and you didn't know how he was going to come through, but he actually did come through? Does anybody know what I'm talking about? Do you remember how he did this? So how is it that we don't understand that in this moment, he's going to do the same exact thing? And so he spends 3.5 years trying to change their thought process and their hearts and move them away from the fact that they're concerned about Roman oppression and bread. Why did the children of Israel get so frustrated when they were walking in the wilderness? They were hangry. We don't have anything to eat. So what's he do? He starts raining bread from the sky. What did the psalmist say? And I know I'm making this practical about bread, but I'm talking about more than this. What did the psalmist say? I was young. And now I'm old. I've never seen the righteous forsaken or his seed begging bread. Here's what I'm trying to get to. There was never a moment where the disciples were going to be out of bread. But it's all they could see. It's all that they could see. Here's why. Wrong thinking patterns. We live in realities that we create and not from the place of the transformed mind. Reality, watch this. Reality is only the resemblance of what is real. Can you hear that? Reality is only the resemblance of what is real. Truth is the actual state of the matter. The difference is the perspective from which you choose to view it. Listen to this. The most minute concept of a thought that goes against the truth of who God is and what he is saying causes those things that are at war with who he is to be puffed up and potentially affect every area of my life. Okay, I have to break this down really quick, and then I'll move on. The leavened mind. Why am I talking about leaven? I really don't know. Just to be honest, when I started studying this, I was like, Lord, why in the hee-haw are you talking to me about leaven? Why would you bring this up to me? I've taught this Mark 8 over and over. I've got some really good messages on a culture of faith because that's what Jesus was teaching. I got other good messages on ears to hear on Mark 18. Been there, done that, preached it. What are you talking about? And he said, I want you to go back and I want you to read Exodus chapter 12 again. The story of the Passover. Listen to me. 13 times in Exodus chapter 12, he mentions unleavened bread or leaven. 13 times in one chapter. Why? Guys, I can't make this up. One of the earliest evidences of leaven in baking. Do you know where it's at? Yes, I've researched leaven in baking and early concepts, so don't come at me. Do you know? No, you don't know because you don't research when was leaven used first, and I don't know why I do either. I can't make it up. Egypt. 3000 BC, there's evidence that they started using leaven in their bread. Now, what does leaven do? Now, I don't have time today to talk to you about the contrast that leaven is negative in Scripture, and there are times when leaven is positive in Scripture, okay? I don't have time to break that down today. I do want to say this, that Egypt first was salvation before it became bondage. And there are things that he will take you into that are meant to save you, but if you stay too long, become bondage. That's a good word. There are things that he will take you into that are meant to be salvation, but if you stay there too long, becomes bondage. Okay? Now watch this. About 2600 BC is when the children of Israel were in Egypt. And so there's leaven. 13 times he mentions it in Exodus chapter 12. Each of these references is connected to the instructions surrounding the Passover festival of unleavened bread and the importance of removing leaven as a part of the Israelites' separation from Egypt and their spiritual purification. Listen, God is so emphatic about his children removing anything that could cause them to think like Egypt. I want you to listen to me. That he institutes a whole feast that is to be remembered for the rest of time, so that at the beginning of this feast, they have to scurry through their house and remove every bit of leaven. Why? Because Egypt represents bondage, slavery, a world system, oppression to the body of Christ, oppression to the people of God, and everything that you could imagine that we could put our faith in the natural, that is not God. And everything that happened in the Exodus made no sense, which is why you don't reason among yourselves to try to figure out what it is that God is saying, because you have to reason with the Holy Spirit so that you can actually find out and decode what it is that he's saying to you. Listen, 9 times out of 10, when God speaks to you, it's not going to make any sense. I made up 9 times out of 10. So don't go Google that. But I have found out the majority of the time that he speaks to me, it makes no sense in the natural. You want me to do what? So he tells them, I want you to remove leaven from their homes so that they would remember the one who brought them out of the system. Listen, stole their identity, changed their name, removed their history,
and caused them to live as slaves. Possibly the greatest thing they had to overcome was the mindset of slavery so that they could handle the inheritance of freedom that was available. Listen to me. One of the reasons we have to change our mindset is because there are things that we have read about that we're not living in yet, but he wants to release to the body of Christ, and we have to remove the leaven of anything that causes us to think a thought about God that is not true, or a thought about ourselves that he's not thinking about us. We have to remove every bit of that so that we can actually handle the weight of the freedom that he wants to release to us. Are y'all okay? This is what he's doing in the moment. Egypt is biblical symbolism and often associated with oppression, bondage, sin. I've already said that. And it is at the forefront of a thought process that can only see things from a natural perspective. Watch this. Anything that contains even the slightest trace of untruth when linked to the Father or the things of God has the power to infiltrate and contaminate every facet of our hearts and minds. Untruth or deception is devastating. It's like leaven, and it spreads silently, thoroughly distorting our perceptions, tainting our discernment, and undermining the purity of our faith. Guys, I'm telling you, I get to talk to a lot of people, and I find that so many times what they believe about God and the situation that they're in the moment is so far from who he said he really is and who he wants to be. And it causes us to create things in our mind, create realities that we're not living from the place of having our mind transformed. And we get those realities from the culture and what the news is saying and what the culture is saying and what social media is saying. And we begin to develop these ideologies and these theologies about who he is, and it's not even close to who he is. This is why Solomon said, you got to guard your heart, because from it flows the issues of life. Here's why this is important. Ryan, how in the world does this affect worship and abundance? Here's why. What you believe about God affects the way you approach him. What you believe about him affects the way that you approach him. We worship aspects of a God that we agree with. That's why worship is affected by the way we feel in the moment. Can you hear me? We worship, we adore, we honor the aspects of God that we agree with, which is why our worship can ebb and flow based on where we are in the moment. Are you okay? Exodus chapter 12, God is very adamant about removing leaven, but he's adamant about something else. He says, go get a spotless lamb without blemish and bring it into your house. This is the lamb you're going to consume, and the blood of this lamb is the lamb that you're going to put, the blood of the lamb is the blood that you're going to put on your doorpost. Are you ready? If the lamb that you go get has conditions, exceptions, justifications, or limitations, then you are not choosing the lamb that is without spot or blemish. Can I help you? If your worship is worshiping a lamb that has conditions and exclusivity and limitations based on environment, based on social status, based on what I believe in the moment, if it has exceptions of it may work for this, but I don't know if it'll work for that, then you are not going after the lamb that is without spot or blemish. And then we wonder why the blood that we've applied to the doorpost of our heart is not keeping us from the hell that we thought it would keep us from. But the truth of the matter is, we have a thought process that has limited the power of what the lamb could do because we placed a lamb that has exceptions and limitations and exclusivity and all of these different things over the doorpost of our heart. Ryan, what do you mean? Jesus told the Pharisees, he said this, you do this and you do this and you do this, but your tradition has the ability to make the word of God no effect. What is he saying? What you believe about something, just because you believe it, doesn't mean that it's right. And if you believe the wrong thing, then it has the ability to make the word of God no effect. And I'm telling you that when you go to the Lamb, there is not an exception that he can do it this time, but maybe not this time. There is not an exception that says maybe he can work with this people, but he's not going to work with this people. There is not an exception that says maybe he'll work with this socioeconomic status, but not this socioeconomic status. No. We cannot put limitations on the lamb. And I'm telling you, what the enemy has done is exactly what he did to Eve. He said, look, he said he didn't want you to eat that because he doesn't want you to be like him. He was attempting to insert a limitation on who Eve was based on fake knowledge that wasn't even true because she was already made in the image of God. We cannot just worship the aspect of God that we agree with in the moment. He actually is God over every circumstance, and there is nothing that the Lamb cannot do. So when you pray, don't pray prayers like, God, I know you did this, but... Do you understand what I'm saying? Don't go get a lamb that has spots, wrinkles, and blemishes that you put on them because of your thought process. Jesus was addressing the mindset, the thought process, and the understanding when he told the disciples to beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And the undeniable progression that happens when we live from this perspective is that we go from the natural and move into performance, and we move into fear. Why? Because leaven causes whatever it touches to be puffed up. That's why there can be a positive and there can be a negative. If it is the kingdom of God, like he said in the New Testament, the kingdom of God is like leaven. It can cause what it is that is good and right to be puffed up. But if you have incorrect thought processes and you allow the leaven of the culture, the leaven of the world, the leaven of ideologies, the leaven of doubt, the leaven of faithlessness that's not tied to your circumstance, then it begins to puff that up and it expands. Because anything that leaven touches causes it to be puffed up. If we're going to live in the place of abundance from the posture of worship and really make room for the king, there are a few things that we're going to have to shift and become aware of. I'm going to talk about performance and fear in the coming weeks, but let me give you four things. And these four things will probably grow, but I want to give you four things. If we're going to challenge this, listen to me. We have to break the thought process of believing that we can look at everything from a natural lens. We are spiritual beings, and we have to get that. We have to get that. And listen, the enemy's not attacking your car and your washer and dryer to make you feel some type of way. Seriously. Now, I understand I have been in moments where when it rains, it pours. I get it. Please know that I get it. I understand. But at the end of the day, the enemy is doing things to affect your heart. He's not trying to just throw a wrench in your everyday routine. He's trying to affect your heart so that you don't approach things from the mindset of knowing that you're a son, for one, or a daughter, and understanding that you actually can move into becoming more than a conqueror, okay? So there's four things that we have to know. Number one, are you ready? We have to move from a survival mentality into kingdom authority. We have to move from just being in survival mode to kingdom authority. A survival mentality is rooted in fear, scarcity, and self-preservation. It's the mindset that focuses on merely getting by, reacting to challenges instead of forward movement with purpose. Listen to me. If you want to blame your washer or your car or whatever on the enemy, that's fine. Go ahead and do that. But you need to understand that what he's actually trying to do is to cause you from moving forward with your purpose. He's actually trying to get you to stop where you are and just move in, you know, to fear and performance and all of these different things. That's what he's actually trying to get you to do. Okay. And so what happens is when we do that and we believe that we're just supposed to survive, this mindset, it keeps us stagnant and it keeps us complacent to where we're literally focused only on the immediate needs and not living in the alignment of God's kingdom. Secular humanistic survival mentality says, how can I just endure this trial? How can I just make it through? And guys, please, I understand. Sometimes the hell and the high water is so much that you really do feel like, how can I get up out of the bed today? I've been there. I understand. I get it. But I want you to understand that there is a kingdom principle that we can live from. And it's penned in Romans 8:28 that all things work together for the good to them that love God and are the called according to his purpose. I don't have to just survive if all things are really working toward my good. Do you understand that? Okay, secular humanistic survival is reactive. Guys, listen, if there is one thing that has infiltrated the church, it is that we are reactive. That's why we have so many voices that are trying to be prophetic that are more pathetic than they are prophetic. Do you understand what I'm saying? Because they're reacting to something. They're reacting to something. I was in Washington this week. Crazy. It was wild. It was wild in D.C. And we're at a barricade. I mean, I felt like I was in the Hunger Games. I'm serious. If you haven't seen that, you need to go watch it and you'll understand. That's what I felt like. We walked up to a barricade and I'm going to the inaugural prayer breakfast and I'm so grateful that I got to go. And listen, every thought that you have around prophetic intercessors and all of that stuff, this was the hub. I mean, this was the hub. And so we're at this barricade, and the Secret Service had told us that we would be able to get in at 7 o'clock, okay? And it's just funny because of the group of people that I was around, what happened, okay? This lady, what I'm getting ready to tell you, she was really trying to help, and I get it. But it was like 7:20, okay? And they had not let us in. Freezing, standing outside, 7:20 a.m., Washington, D.C., we're freezing. You know, we're trying to respond correctly and all this stuff. We're at this barricade, you know, that we had to walk a mile to get to because they had a perimeter shut down. And so we're trying to get to the hotel where the prayer breakfast is. And it's at 7:20. And this lovely woman comes to the side and says, hey, I want everybody to know they're going to open the gates at 7 a.m. They're waiting to let us in, but at 7 a.m. they're going to open the gates. It's 7:20. And when I'm in situations like that, sometimes the old Ryan comes out, and sometimes I may or may not have a smart aleck thought, but I have learned with wisdom and experience only to whisper those things to my bride or someone that's around me. Some things I can't whisper to her because she loses it and starts laughing, and I'm like, babe, you're gonna blow my cover. And so if I don't have Cameron near me or Dave Mullins who can handle those things, then I have to be real careful. And so what happened was when she said that, I just kind of tilted my head and said, huh. But it reminded me Seriously, listen to me. I'm telling you this. This woman was precious. It reminded me of how those who so bad want to be prophetic, but they're reactive instead of being proactive with what it is that we're doing. And what I'm telling you is that what happens is the enemy wants us to remain reactive and not be proactive to what's happening. Because when you're proactive, what does that mean? It means that you're prepared to endure whatever it is that comes, right? So unbeknownst to her, we were prepared to stand there beyond 7 a.m. because it was 7:20. And we weren't going to get in until the Secret Service decided to open the barricade and let us in, period. Do you understand what I'm saying? And so what survival says is I have to just react to what's coming. But the kingdom principle is to be proactive and operate in faith that is confident, watch this, that God has already provided what he needed for the moment. Are y'all okay? Kingdom authority begins when we recognize and live from our identity as co-heirs. I'll read that to you next week. So number one, we have to move from survival mentality into a kingdom authority. Number two, God's principles are his automations. God's principles are his automations. God's principles are not random rules. They are divine laws woven into the fabric of creation. They operate automatically, just like natural laws as gravity and thermodynamics. Whether we acknowledge or ignore them, these principles remain consistent and reliable. They are set into motion by God's authority and cannot fail. Can you hear me there? They cannot fail. His principles cannot fail. God's principles operate like a spiritual ecosystem where his word is the foundation. When we align our lives with his principles, we activate the automations that he has set in motion. Conversely, when we ignore them, we step outside of their protective boundaries and invite chaos and stagnation. Do you hear me? We blame so many things on the fact that we moved. We stepped outside. If he has an umbrella for us, and we step outside the cover of the umbrella, we can't complain about getting wet. Let me repeat what I said earlier. His principles are his automations. They were never going to be without bread. Do you understand that? Jesus has to address a whole mindset. And as he introduces this concept, he's like, they're blind. They can't see. They have eyes, but they can't see. They have ears, but they can't hear. So he goes into the natural, sets something in motion, heals a man, and it happens to be the healing where he spit in his eyes and says, can you see? He said, I see people walking around the streets. I believe it is a prophetic picture of where the disciples were. They had a form of vision, but they couldn't see everything. And so he prays again, and now he can see clearly. And he's like, okay, now we've set something in the natural that has aligned with the spiritual. What I said, boys, who do men say that I am? I literally believe that's what he was doing. He was testing them. They were never going to be without bread. Guys, you're never not going to be taken care of. You're never not going to be functioning in what it is that God wants you to function in unless you decide to get out from under the umbrella. Do you understand that? He is not going to risk his reputation on failing you. We got to think that way. We got to make adjustments to our thought process. Okay. Number three. Okay. Past victories inform future faith. Listen to me. Past victories inform future faith. Boys, how many baskets did you take up? 12. What about the other time? 7. How is it you don't understand? Past victories inform future faith. The very etymology, if you break down the word testimony, it literally means to do again. I want you to hear me today. We have to have a thought process. If he brought me out of this, he will bring me out of this. If he brought me into abundance here, he's going to move me into abundance for the rest of my life. We have to break the thought process that everything is temporary and he only did it in this moment and I must have failed and I must have messed up. That's a lamb that has spots and blemishes. That's not the one we serve. I'm telling you, past victories inform future faith. If you have a testimony that he has done something for you, you need to be assured that whatever it is you're walking through right now, he'll do it again. He'll do it again. Okay, number four, we must break agreement with false foundations, false finish lines, and corrupt personal thought patterns. You hear me? We must break agreement with false foundations, false finish lines, and corrupt personal thought patterns. Every victory in the kingdom is eternal. Every defeat is temporary. Do you hear me? Every victory in the kingdom is eternal, and every defeat is temporary. Every single one. We have to change the way we think. We have to change the way we think and live from the place of the Spirit. Ryan, why do we have to do that? Well, because we've tried the other thing for so long. Can I just be honest? We've tried it for so long. We've tried it in the church world. We've tried it in every area. We approach relationships the way that the culture says we should. We approach the way that we talk to people and the things that we do based on trends and things that we see in social media. We have to have a different thought process. If we're really going to be people of the Spirit, we've got to begin to live from the place of the Spirit and change our mind to believe that that's actually possible.